Today we are talking about busyness and rest, and this is a prayer Rachel Wojo wrote, and it's a prayer when life is busy. So I want you to get out your daily planner in your mind and think about, nobody uses daily planners anymore, I don't know why I said that, but get out your phone in your mind, whatever, and think through all the things you've done this week and all the things you have to do this week, and just lay them down before the altar as we focus ourselves in prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of life. Each season is special and beautiful in your timing. And I praise you, Jesus, for teaching me to embrace each one. In the midst of this current season of busyness, I desperately need the wisdom that can only come from you. I need you to calm my hurried heart. The hustle and bustle can cause my spirit to sink when I know your plan is to soar. Will you usher in the wings of your strength? Will you calm my attitude in the midst of the rush? Will you prompt me to slow down when needed? As the God of the universe living inside of me, the author of peace that can't be comprehended, please give me your tranquility to experience fully, and I'll praise your holy name. Amen. I just want to remind you that we have a bucket in the back. If you brought offering you want to share, we give our offering online. A lot of folks do, and you're invited to contribute to the work of this church. We just give what we have, and then we share it back in a lot of ways. So that's important to remember. Now, our scripture this morning is a story I bet you know. It's the story of Mary and Martha, and it comes to us from Luke chapter 10. Verses 38 through 42. So, hear these words. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but few things are needed, indeed only one. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So just so I know who I'm preaching to this morning, I want to do a little poll to see whether you feel more like a Martha or more like a Mary. So all the Marthas, raise your hand. All right. Yeah, some of you are lying. There's more Marthas out here. And if more Marys, raise your hand. We have several abstentions. It's interesting to note. Well, as I do sometimes, I like to picture and cast with famous people in the roles of the scripture. So I did that with Mary and Martha. The obvious choice for Martha is Martha Stewart, right? I mean, she's the queen of organizing and hospitality and taking care of little details. So I was thinking, who does Martha Stewart know that could represent somebody who's kind of chill and kind of go with the flow? Who knows? Snoop Dogg, right? So I picture Martha. Snoop Dogg is a rapper, if you don't know. And so that's what I picture, but I don't know if either of them is a good role model. You know, one of them went to prison. And it's not Snoop Dogg. So, but then again, Paul went to prison, so I guess we can maybe use them. There's somebody missing from this story. When we hear about Mary and Martha in the Gospel of John, they have a brother. Anybody remember his name? Lazarus. The brother Lazarus. It doesn't show up in this story, but I picture him there at this gathering, at this meal. And if I were going to cast him in the role, I would cast me. Because I picture Lazarus sitting across the room, scrolling through his phone, totally checked out to the whole thing. That's Lazarus over there on the side. And I think that may represent some of those folks that abstained. Do you know that Americans on average spend 4.2 hours a day on their phones? Wow. So there's room for all of us. There's room for the Marthas, the Marys, and the Lazaruses. And you can just decide who you are. But we're going to focus on Mary and Martha. I've preached about this maybe 10 times over the past 25 years. And it always comes up, the same question, and I have it too. It's like, why are we bashing Martha? Why does she get the raw end of the deal in this scripture? I mean, she's the one who welcomed Jesus in. She's the one that shows all the hospitality. They would not have had dinner if it wasn't for Martha, right? She didn't break any laws. On the contrary, hospitality in Hebrew is called hashnazat orkim. Don't know if that's right, but you don't know any better, so. But it's a core value that's talked about in the Torah, in the Bible. And so let's not vilify Martha. We need people who know how to get things done. Case in point, in my house, we have two levels of clean. We have Mitch clean, and we have Jan clean. Mitch goes through and does Mitch clean, and then Jan says, all right, and she does the real cleaning. And sometimes I will say to her, you know, you're better at Martha-ing than me. And you know what she'll say? You're darn right. That's what she'll say. So this story is not about hospitality or cleaning or responsibility. It's a story about remembering that there are alternatives to busyness. There are alternatives to busyness. And some of us can be downright forgetful about this. So it's not fair the grief we give Martha. You know, she's fulfilling her societal expectations. But for many of us, busyness that we see in her becomes a real issue. It's a problem. It becomes our way of life. Last week, we talked about an epidemic of loneliness. So many people are lonely these days. I think we also have an epidemic of busyness, just chronic busyness with all the things that we have to do in a day. I got to tell you about this, this study that a psychologist named Timothy Wilson did. So he gathered a group of people, and he asked them, would you pay money to avoid being given an electric shock? I don't think it was a lot of money. Would you pay, you know, a little bit of money to avoid getting an electric shock? They all said yes. Then they were placed individually in a room by themselves and told to just be alone with their thoughts. And there was a button that, if they pressed it, would give them an electric shock, the very shock that they said they would pay money to avoid. 25% of women, after a while, chose to press the button. They would rather get an electric shock than just sit alone with their thoughts. Come on, women. 67% of men did the same thing. What does that tell us? It tells us that there's something in our world, in our society, that makes it hard for us to be alone with our thoughts and to rest. It's like people are denying their inner Mary. And it's harder to just be. Now, I got to tell you, I'm one of those people. That's why I said I'm like Lazarus. You know, I spend a lot of time on this thing or watching TV. And I don't think of that as restful time. It's just checking out time. Not recharging my batteries. It's more like I just go offline. I'm so overwhelmed by all the things I do during the day that I can't just, I just sit. Anybody else feel that way? Some of us forget that there's a third alternative between being a Martha and being a Lazarus, and that's being a Mary. Here's the secret behind this story. We are called to be both, Mary and Martha. There's both inside of us. And maybe sometimes we're Lazarus too. We got to remember that Mary is not being lazy. Some people say she's being lazy, that she's shirking her duty. But the point is she's doing something important by not doing something. She chose not to do something. So for us, she represents those moments in our lives when we relinquish control of our lives and we just rest in the Lord. That's hard for some of us to do. But let me quote Hebrews here. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his work as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by following the same example of disobedience. Do you hear that? Failure to rest is an act of disobedience. That is not what God had in mind. The Sabbath, it was established for that. You know, the 6 days of creation, the seventh day, God rested. Somewhere along the way, we equated that with the specific day of the week, set aside this specific day. But I want to contend that you may require more Sabbath time than 1 hour at church or 2 hours at church throughout the week. I want you to realize how important our spiritual bodies are. You probably know that. You know, this kind of rest is not just for our physical bodies. It's for recharging our spiritual bodies. I think about it like time to take a bubble bath with God, soaking in God's love. Doesn't that sound nice? How open are you to God time? And what does it look like? Some examples of what that kind of God time looks like is maybe reading the scripture. You know, sometimes I just push the Bible away and I don't think about it, but then I'll open it up and I'll read something Jesus is teaching and I'll say, wow, I kind of forgot about that. And it just fills me up. Or maybe it's going out in nature, experiencing God's creation. It just, breathing in the air, it just fills you up. Maybe it's listening for the Holy Spirit in your ear. You know, John Wesley would get groups of people together and they would ask each other every week, how have you followed the promptings of the Holy Spirit this week? And then they'd ask, how have you heeded the warnings of the Holy Spirit this week? What would it be like to ask that question every week? That's going to recharge you. I want to mention that Jan, who is a pretty good Martha, she also spends each morning listening to a guy on her Calm app, and his name is Jeff, and he does a 7-minute meditation, and it's so good. I'll listen to it too sometimes. So she's good at being both. She's good at recharging. So what does that do for you? The thing is that busyness isn't bad. So we don't want to say that. You know, we've got work to do. And it's just part of this whole thing that we call God time. Busyness is part of that. You know, there are two Greek words that talk about time. One of those words is chronos, and the other word is kairos. So chronos is this kind of time, chronological time. Like Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness. That God created in 7 days. It's sort of like linear time, the time that we just live moment to moment. That's chronos time. Kairos time is the moments of connection with God that come. The times when you open yourself and experience God, a mountaintop experience maybe, or just feeling this divine connection. You're driving home from work, and it suddenly dawns on you, God, I'm with you. You're with me. Those are Kairos times. You could call it Mary time. It's all God time. We just have to do both. Our society is addicted to Kronos time. We're addicted to busyness. There's always something on our schedules. And so we struggle to leave space for Kairos time. So when do you do Kairos time? What does that look like for you? I do struggle with Kairos time. You know when I do it the best? It's at night when I go to bed. I look forward to this every day. Yeah, that's me. I get up and I look forward to going to bed. But I'll climb in bed and I will just lie there and just let everything go from the day. And in that silence and in that space, it's just me and God. And I spend a good 10, 15 minutes like that, and then I drift off to sleep. How do you experience Kairos time? I invite you to take just a couple minutes and turn to people around you and talk about that. What do you do to experience Kairos time? God time. Go ahead. All right, let's come back together. I would love to hear a few examples. What does Kairos time look like for you? What do you do for Kairos time?
Walk the dog.
Walk the dog, absolutely. I'm not going on until somebody else.
Journal.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one. Yeah. Gardening, absolutely, that's a great one.
Sometimes, not always, but like morning walk.
Sometimes the morning walk, yeah, yeah. All right, any others? All right, well, we have to, you know, find different ways, and there's lots of different ways out there to do that. As we think about the story of Mary and Martha, I want to give you some good news. You don't have to make Martha Stewart or Snoop Dogg your role models. I don't know what their Kairos time really looks like. But you also don't have to make the biblical Mary and Martha your role models either. They're just one paragraph in the Bible. It's just a story of one thing that happened. And we can put some meaning into that, but really, we have to put that meaning into ourselves. I want to think about one great passage about time. You remember this from Ecclesiastes? To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. I love that. And I love the song, Turn, 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 that's based on. There is a time to be concerned about many things. Work, your kid's baseball game, going out with friends and playing. That takes time to all of those things. There's a time to be concerned about those many things, but we can't forget the one thing that may fuel the rest of our lives, and that's soaking in God time, the specific, intentional kind of God time. It may be hard for some of us to do. It may be easy to push that away or just omit it from our list. I think that's why a lot of middle-aged and young adult folks have drifted away from the church because they're so busy. And maybe church would be great, but it's not as important. So we need a culture shift to re-experience Kairos time. And if some of you are like me, Lazarus kind of folks, it's okay to have that checkout time too, you know? But it's not meant to, watching your favorite show is not meant to replace the spending time with God time. So one of the Ten Commandments is you shall not covet. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or house or donkey, things like that. And I get that. If there's one thing that Jesus covets, that Jesus wants from you, one of those things is your time. Jesus is asking you to focus time with him and with God. All of it. So we're called to strike a balance between those two. And perhaps you can't avoid being busy these days. It seems unavoidable. But you can't afford not to rest in the Lord. Amen.